The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
And a very good morning to you. It's Oliver Callan here in for Ryan for the rest of this week. And it's going to be an eventful week, of that we can be certain. It is now the month of November. It is the 2nd of November already. So Halloween has come and gone and the smoke is still kind of lingering in the atmosphere there. We might chat a little bit about that later on. But anyway, it was a cold, dark, wet and windy couple of days, so we need to have our wits about us and look after our wits. I've been looking at that Keep Well campaign, which is in full swing. There's some very good little tips there. Just keep active, stay in touch, stay connected with your friends on the phone and your family. Switch off, mind the mood, maybe not so easy, but eat well. And if you could do it all together, it's all simple and worthwhile advice, particularly looking up the nooks and crannies and finding those little places in your local area within your 5 kilometres that you may not have found in lockdown one. And even I've found some little tracks and things that I hadn't noticed before over the weekend. And when you're dressed for the weather, you can go out in all conditions, and your heart would go out to all the GA people who had to entertain us at the weekend. Watching the Sunday game yesterday, it looked like Joanne Cantwell was presenting in front of a waterfall in front of Parky Keeve. It was like the deadliest catch meets the Hunger Games. Never mind the yellow slither, they could do it a light up one, or maybe one that's on fire like they had in the ad there a couple of years ago. But however, it's a grim month sometimes, but it does hold the promise and of the escape from lockdown and December 1st and the festivities to follow, dare we say it. And is that not a target to work towards? I hope so. So I hope you're doing okay wherever you're hibernating in the country. Let's hear from you. The text is 51551 and the email is ryan@rte.ie. Hopefully you had a better weekend than Leo Varadkar and some of his friends. Whew, yikes, as he might say himself, toad sorky Momo. It was supposed to be midterm break, not midterm leak. But anyway, November is not going to be a boring month considering how it has begun. And you see, this is really why those of us who love politics and love the drama of it, we just adore it, because somebody, you can be sky high in your approval ratings and then you're rattled the next minute. A friend of mine texted at the weekend and said, you know, we were kind of due a major political scandal again, because it's been a couple of weeks and there's been one every now and again. So here it is anyway. And there's something old fashioned about this one. You know, he's in the soup for posting documents to a friend, and there's a row over whether they're sensitive or not. It even has a catchy name, Leo the Leak. And which is great for comedy purposes, can I just say that? Because that's the prism through which I look at some of these things. But anyway, we await with interest his explanation in the Dáil tomorrow, and the opposition are all revved up. But also in these kind of rows, it's sometimes the people in his own party might be smirking away in the background. But from my point of view, it kind of begs the question whether Leo Varadkar's post might be haunted, because this is not the first time he's had an embarrassing postal incident. Let us never forget Dear Kylie, in that unmistakable scrawl of his. And maybe it's time to discuss the Cothaisce Taoiseach's terrible suspect handwriting. Allegedly now, he likes to write in black marker. So just like a certain someone else, because if you were to be at the centre of a major political row, this is a good week to be in there, because it's US election day tomorrow and nobody is expecting it to go smoothly. It is going to eat all of the news from Wednesday morning onwards. So whatever is going on here could well be swept away. And so many people, as you're hearing, have voted already, bigly, a lot of votes in already. 92 million, they're saying, voted early. 140 million voted in total in 2016. So that puts it in context before they even opened the regular polls. And in Texas and Hawaii, the turnout has already surpassed the total who voted 4 years ago. So it's going to be a huge turnout, really big, a lot of people excited. And it's not going to be a normal election night because, they're not expecting a winner to be declared, are they? Because every projection in every state comes with the caveat that there is a big volume of postal votes to be counted. So Brian O'Donovan, our very own Washington political correspondent here at the RTE has tweeted about the 9 things to look out for on US election night. Voting problems. That's kind of every time, though, isn't it? There's always huge queues. There's weather problems. There's people arguing they haven't brought the right thing to the ballot box and so on. Pennsylvania, he's listed 4 big states. Pennsylvania, Florida, Georgia, Texas. We're going to be very familiar with those places in the next few days. Red mirage is a term you're hearing all in all. This is something to do with the initial results might seem to favour the Republican candidate, Trump, of course, only for the postal votes to perhaps change the hue. People are watching out for early declarations of victory. Who would do that? I don't know, believe me. Claims of fraud, well, that's going on already. And the very sad one, protests and unrest. And you might have seen images of shops and stuff being boarded up, and it just gives you the heebie-jeebies. Now, Dr. Jennifer Kavanaugh, in response to these 9 things to keep an eye on, she describes herself on Twitter as a political anorak, constitutional and electoral law nerd. Her 9 things to look out for to stay up all night, basically, to watch the election is caffeine, naps, beer, cocktails, snacks, popcorn, the telly, Twitter, and under-eye concealer for the next day. I think naps might be more important there than beer. You know, you wouldn't want to find yourself, you know, with your wits being affected by beer and cocktails for the night that's in store and for the stuff that's going on. You always have these little quirky side stories around an election. There's one American voter who is not currently on Earth, and that is NASA astronaut Kate Rubins, who is on the International Space Station, and she voted. She has voted from space. How did she do it? She got a secure electronic ballot, which was uploaded to the Space Center in NASA, and it went to the International Space Center, and she has turned out and she has voted early. She's not telling us who she's voted for. Someone else who's very excited about the election as well is Nigel Farage, who we wish was a mirage, but Nigel Farage is the real thing. And he is posted there in front of Capitol Hill in Washington in his kind of Del Boy Crombie overcoat. He's kind of ruined that look for everyone forever. And he claims to have bet £10,000 on Donald Trump to win the US election. And I know something about elections. Yes, indeed. I won on Brexit and on Trump. And I speak for the plain people. The plain, pint-swilling, sausage-fingered, occasionally wet themselves down the pub. People of Britain. So there is Nigel Farage not going away, you know. So nobody dares to predict what's going to happen. I kind of had a feeling that it was leaning towards Joe Biden, but after reading everything the weekend, and they're saying, well, the economic news is very good, you know, and obviously the president will always get credit for that nearly 4 years down the road. So we just don't know what's happening. And you have to bear in mind that although we do tend to lean Democrat in Ireland over the years, with just going by our idle adulation for JFK, and the Clintons, of course. The Irish Daily Mirror reminds us that there are Trump fans, and the headline on the front page is Doomsday. Locals in Clare Town praying that Trump triumphs to secure jobs. And John Cairns is writing about the hopes and dreams of these people. They are praying for Donald Trump to remain. So a kind of a rare shout out for pro-Trump people in Ireland. Many of the 800 people who live in Trump's adopted Irish hometown of Doonbeg in County Clare idolise him. Publican Tommy Tuberty is among his many admirers, I say with a straight face. Tommy Tuberty, and he's sincere in what he says. I hope and pray he wins. He's a decent fellow who's got a lot of negative press both here in America. That's certainly true. All the media is against him. You know, there's an argument for that as well. So what we're hearing in this article, basically, 300 locals are employed in the 5-star Trump International Doonbeg Golf Resort. Another 100 jobs come from, bus drivers, caddies in the area, hairdressers, beauticians. And on the west coast of Clare, these jobs are the difference between surviving and emigration. Retired businessman Liam Ryan told the Irish Mirror the Trump family put food on our table. So that is an argument, and we will be hearing from everybody along the way. An exciting week, as I say. On book news, the Obamas are apparently battling over to be the kings of the bestsellers, basically. Barack Obama broke the record for American presidential memoirs when he signed with Penguin Random House for $65 million in 2017. And his first volume is coming out soon, I believe. And everyone's wondering, will he outsell Michelle Obama for Beloved, her book, which came out last year and was also a Netflix series because they have a Netflix deal as well. Well, Obama, of course, he is, before he even became president, was well known for those big door stopper books. And so So he's got a first volume and it's only going to cover the first 3 years of his presidency. So out of eight, it sounds like that'll be three volumes, won't it? Three volumes of books. Never read a word of Barack Obama's books, I'm sorry to say. And all of the kind of political books, they're thrashed out in the media so much you kind of feel like, well, you know everything that's going on. How is the mood? Some people are very happy on the text. The text is 51551. Hallelujah! The kids are back in school. Long may it last, says Claire in Dublin. The kind of much unheralded thing that the government did. I remember everyone saying in August, oh, the government, Micheál Martin's reputation is staked on whether he can open the schools and keep them open. Well, we're into November and they are still open. And hopefully it long may it last and that everyone stays safe and well in there. Now, not looking so good for Tidy Towns, apparently. The Irish Times tells us this morning that the annual Tidy Towns contest, which has been running for more than 60 years, could be lost forever if the pandemic forces the competition's cancellation for another year. The Minister for Community, Heather Humphreys, has said a go-ahead will depend on the public health risks existing in the first 3 months of 2021. Well, I think nobody's expecting to be over in early in the first 3 months of next year. But this is putting 800 local Tidy Towns committees and their volunteers at risk of maybe never coming back again to do the whole thing. So Labour are out saying there's no conceivable reason for the contest not to take place next year. And they're asking the government, which runs the Tidy Towns, to immediately give it the go ahead and ensure it survives. And on one hand, I was kind of thinking upstairs, it's done outside, you know, it's kind of cleaning up local communities. Why not? But as someone pointed out, lots of meetings. And even if you move them outside, there are so many people involved. But let's hope that Tidy Towns continues, because it is one of those things that brings communities together and gives them a purpose. And we'll be talking a little bit about community efforts shortly. Now, a good thing for the government agencies. The Office of Public Works, the OPW, has announced that the perimeter side gates of the Phoenix Park will close to cars, traffic, for the next 5 weekends for the duration of Level 5. So from this weekend onwards, there'll be no cars up and down, and the pedestrians and cyclists and joggers and all those people will reclaim the park. And that's a row that's kind of going on all the time, isn't it? Whether they can just make it fully pedestrianised. But it is the largest city park, isn't it, in Europe? So not easy to close it down. In a city, an old town with lots of cars zipping around the place. Now, dare we mention the Christmas word? Yeah, it's the 2nd of November, so the Christmas ads have already begun on the telly. The Times Ireland tells us that the public demand for Christmas tree farms has begun already. So normally, the Christmas tree farms open in late November. And if you're getting in late November around toy show time, that's considered early enough as it is. But this year, they've been taking orders since the middle of last month, mid-October. Christmas tree farms are preparing to replace traditional sales methods with click and collect. And drive-through services. Well, click and collect now, that wouldn't work on a Christmas tree farm. If you're a bit like me and you're one of the pernickety Christmas tree kind of, you know, testers. You have to kind of hold it up. And then when you're holding it up, you realise you're not tall enough to look at it and you're swinging it around. And then will that bit go against the wall, or we'll put it in the corner? And then you get someone else to hold it. And then you have to squint and you have to consider what it's going to look like when you cut the lower branches. So click and collect, maybe drive through, but they'll be only tortured with people saying, swing it around there now. I presume they wouldn't be cut yet. But you can order. So Martin Keller of Kildare Christmas Trees, who's also the chairman of the Irish Christmas Tree Growers, an organisation for everything, he said they've had orders so early, the best way to keep a tree growing is to make a fresh cut across the bottom of the trunk, put it in a water stand, not on a screw stand. So he's giving the advice, which should have been told for decades now at this stage, how to do a tree. I'm almost turning into Francis Brennan there. You know how to do the tree now, don't you? Sort it out, just a little bit of a cut, stick it in the water and you'll be grand. Now somebody, I watch Gardener's World because the lockdown sent me straight into kind of middle age straight away. So I suddenly got very, very interested in gardening. And I know it's on a Friday evening, but I'm a Sunday morning watcher. It's on at 8 o'clock, gets me up early on a Sunday. And you watch Monty Don and everything's all so lovely. And his lovely little dog, Nelly, who's with him all the time. And the last episode was on Sunday and I found myself going, oh my God, what am I going to do on Sunday mornings? I'll just have Andrew Marr to make the world grim with all those sad stories about Brexit and pandemics. But anyway, I was interested in this because I didn't know that Pete, Yeah, your compost, your peat compost is a very political issue. And Monty Don, the presenter of Gardeners World, is very angry about peat. And he says it's terrible for the environment. And he says Garden Centre, they shouldn't stock peat. You shouldn't grow plants in peat. Peat mining is not good for the environment. It damages habitats. So he's always talking about using grit and other things. It's the one that's spelled C-O-I-R. It looks like core, but it's something else. I can't think of it right now. But it's that type of thing, he says, that type of compost. And that strikes, put me in mind of a row over a peat bog we had in Westmeath 5 years ago. And they found a Bronze Age road. It was like one of the oldest roads they had found, you know, like a wooden path. And it was just minced, put into peat compost, because it's just Ireland. Everywhere you dig, there's history. And someone said, no, that'll look nice in a window box. Sure, we have a lovely Bronze Age road up there in Longford. You can go to and have a look at it any time. We've enough Bronze Age roads. Cut it up. Be smashed. Another thing people have done for the first time in lockdown is reading. And there was a lot of discussion in the last few days about the lead singer of East 17, Blast from the Past, Tony Mortimer, who had said in lockdown he read his first novel, even though he's age 50. And, you know, it was kind of a spirited thing. Secrets of the Greek Revival, a haunted house mystery by Eva Poehler, American novelist, was his first book. And he got very excited and he read 64 of them since. And there was a little people going, really? You're 50 and you're reading your first novel? Oh my God. Well, Maya Dunphy is on the Twitter machine and she says, a lot of people are poking fun at Tony Mortimer for admitting to reading his first novel at 50. He's to be applauded for it. Not everyone is raised with a tradition of reading and it's never too late. Not everyone finds reading easy or even possible. So fair play to him. And there was much love for that. And we're all with her. Yeah, you don't make it snobbery to kind of say, oh, you should have been reading for a long time. 51551 is the text machine. And Michelle Obama's book is called Becoming, Not Beloved. Actually, I think I might have said Belonging or something like that. Beloved is by Toni Morrison, which is also a great book, says Mary in Clontarf. Can you give a big shout out to Wolf Walkers from Cartoon Saloon, which got a brilliant review from The Observer, says Kate McCain Buncrana. Yes, indeed. Kilkenny's Cartoon Saloon, Wolf Walkers. Sean Bean, I think, is the lead voice in that. And it's getting rave reviews all over the place, as everything they do, because they are very Oscar-y, aren't they, over there? Easy with the talk about getting rid of peat. My grandson Pete is getting very worried, says Elizabeth. You see, there's no story too serious for people to give it a good old slagging. And we'll come to that message about PPE later. But look, it's the week where we all think about the United States. And isn't it Fintan O'Toole who said it's a country that has inspired all sorts of feelings, fear, envy, inspiration. But never before have we felt pity until the last year. So, like the people of Doombeg, you can pray for America, pray for whoever you want to win, and pray most of all for the kids in America. It's 20 past nine. Good morning. Brilliant song, just dancing on the desk now, says this texter who's working from home today. That must be a hell of a desk. 51551 is the text machine, and that's Kids in America and Kim Wilde. Early 80s, I think, isn't it? Kim Wilde, she's also a gardener now too. The hobby is growing, says Jerry in Terenure. I don't know if that's Jerry Daly. You know, the fellow who's really low down. He's always kind of a, you know, because gardening seems like such a lovely thing, but maybe gardeners don't necessarily always like talking about gardeners. It's like, just stick the bulbs in, will you? Shut up about it. I've actually planted snowdrops, which I think are award-winning flowers, and no idea if it's going to work, but sure, I'll let you know in the new year if it happens. The last time I read a novel was Leaving Cert English, says this texter. I don't know when that was, but it's good that they stuck a novel into you anyway. So go at it again. You know, you never know what you'll find out in lockdown. Now, we were talking about schools and on the subject of schools, which are back today, happily. And this texter says, can I ask you to send a message out to all whoever might be calling the school's helplines regarding hand sanitizer or PPE problems? Please, please, please be respectful to the people you talk to on the phone. You see, this is stuff that you think should be normal and should be common sense. But anyway, this texter says they're trying to accommodate you and help. So hurling abuse at them is rude. It's not helping. I'm just trying to do a job for minimum wage from my kitchen. We're asked to look out for each other, mind mental health. But if you had 8 hours of people shouting and being rude, it certainly does not help mental health. So just ask people to be nice and respectful. So that's a person who's manning the helplines of schools, and a very important message. They are listening to people all day long. Hopefully not everyone is roaring and screaming at them, and hopefully they're able to manage the mental health when they've got all that rudeness going on. I mean, like, you want to take it out on someone, it's not the person on the helpline It's just stay calm. We're all trying to muddle through. Another email came into us as well. It said, I think the guards on the Naas Road over the weekend deserve a huge mention. We were travelling down to Clonmel to visit my mum after being in hospital. We met the guard at checkpoint on the way down, explained what we were doing, and we were allowed to proceed on our way. But on the way back, after all the really heavy rain and the wind, I was interested to see if the checkpoint would still be there. I couldn't believe it was. The guard must have worked all day out in the wind and rain. Unbelievable stuff. I think they deserve a huge mention for its leadership and the commitment like that, making all the difference with COVID, says Micheál. Hear, hear, says us all. And I'm up and down the M1 and there's a permanent checkpoint even before level 5 around Junction 7 there. And I was actually talking to a guard about a week or two ago and I was asking them, what's the crack? And they're saying, look, it's tough because a bit like that helpline person, some people are really mad as hell to be stopped and they're all going, well, I know my rights and I know the laws. And the guards are going, yeah, we're just trying to send, you know, the public health guidance. We're just here. It's a presence. They can't stop many people, but it's tough on the guards. So if you do come across those people, try to be happy, try to smile, and we can just get along. You know, they're certainly not making the rules and the people on the helplines aren't making hand sanitizer with the stuff in it that shouldn't have been in it. So let's all take a deep breath and get along. It's nearly 9:30. We better take a break.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back. 51551 is the text. Dear Oliver, for those allergic to reading novels, why not try audiobooks? I tried out the free audiobooks available through my local library in Kilkenny. Great for when you're clearing clutter, walking in the raindrops, spacing out on the couch. Currently completely absorbed in Kevin Barry's Night Boat to Tangiers, says Lulu in St Mullins. Totally with you on that. The audiobooks. I would never have thought actually about the local library. That's a really good tip. Just finished Night Boat to Tangiers actually myself there a couple of weeks ago. Great crack altogether in that lovely lilt that Kevin Barry gives us. Yes, I'm one of the late readers. Only read my first book when lockdown came, says this texter. I bought a Michael Harding's On Tuesdays I'm a Buddhist for my granddaughter, but I just had a quick peek first and was hooked. I'm on his fifth book now. I'm 65 and a half, says Larry. So fair play to you, Larry. Fair play to Michael Harding. He's a lovely way of saying the word beautiful. Beautiful. Can't even quite do it myself, but it's a very specific Cavan Leitrim sort of lilt to it. No, no, no. We were discussing with Alison and the dilemma whether you open the box, read the letters or not. No, 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 says this person with lots of no's. Leave the letters in the box, not yours to read. I would hate if a letter I'd written was ever read by my children years on. Let them rest in peace. Well, if historians took that view, should we just destroy everyone? We'd never read any records and you never know what might be in there, do you know? But I'm naturally a nosy person. So maybe that's just me. Somebody else says on the other side, I think she should read them. Her mum would have known the letters would be there after she passed. Good point. And never hid their existence from her daughter. She would have done something with them, sent them to someone else, maybe burned them if she didn't want them to be read. I think she probably wanted her daughter to read them. In fact, I think Charles Dickens burnt all of his letters at home. But of course, he had sent the letters and he asked people to, was it Wilkie Collins, I think he said, please destroy all the letters. And he said, yeah, I will, of course I will, yeah. Kept them all. I'm sure we know all about the good, bad and the ugly about Charles Dickens only because of those letters. So, you know, what is the answer to the dilemma? You know, maybe if Alison reads it, she'll let us know. 51551 is the text. We'll take some music, some nice Irish music now, fittingly called The Moral of the Story. Now we're nearly out of time. Just time for a few more texts. Can we thank Rose in Brompton Green, who organises very socially distant coffee mornings every Sunday at noon for the residents of the cul-de-sac there for a lovely catch-up. Well done to Rose, says Maureen. And we should remind everyone that the COVIDliness in Killarney is also very socially distant and all within the level 5 protocols. Now, on the subject of whether to read private letters from your deceased mum or not, Alison should, this is Alison Dean down in Clare, she should, before deciding, read Blake Morrison's wonderful book, Things My Mother Never Told Me, a memoir of his parents drawing on their correspondence during courtship and marriage, says Connor. This person says, my mother passed away. We found a bundle of letters marked private. Please do not read. We could see from the envelopes they were love letters from her dad, the love of her life. We respected her privacy and burned them. On the other side of that, this texter says, read the letters. Loved ones speak from beyond the grave. Their treasured memories live on and family will get value from them. I value the few letters I have between my mum and her brother. There are lessons to be learned there. So let's see what happens. But it's 10 o'clock. We better pass over now to Claire Byrne and the Today Show team. That's it. We're back again tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.